pray for those anyway. Take your Bible, 1 John chapter 2. I want to talk to you this morning about growing up Christian. Have you ever heard the term, I grew up whatever? You know, I grew up Baptist, or I grew up Mennonite, or I grew up Mormon, or I grew up, you know, in one culture or another. I grew up something. Well, I want to talk to you this morning from this passage of Scripture about growing up Christian. In fact, when I put the title down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no, I wasn't. I'm kidding. At any rate, two things popped out in my mind when I wrote the title down. First of all, it was the word Christian, because the word Christian was first used of the disciples of Jesus Christ who were meeting at the church of Antioch in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. The word Christian means a follower of Jesus Christ. And in other words, the people were called Christians because they followed the teachings of the Lord Jesus and were becoming more like Him in their everyday lifestyle. That's why Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He was saying, hey, it's no longer my life, it's His life, and His life being lived through me. And so we could say, and it may be just semantics, I truly believe there are people that are saved that aren't Christians. You say, well, how can that be? Because they're not following in the path that Jesus Christ set. They're not living a lifestyle like that. Now, they may be saved. They may have their sins forgiven and going to heaven. But are they really living a life that God wants them to? I imagine in this congregation, there could be people that are saved and yet not really followers of Jesus Christ. Oh, they're going to heaven, but are they Christians? That's the question. The second thing that popped out in the title was the word growing up. As those that are now born again, we have a responsibility and, yea, I believe a great privilege to grow in the Lord. We have this, it's a journey, it's a time, it's a process of time. But God wants us to take that. In fact, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. Again, this aspect of being saved is one thing, and thank God for it. But the Christian is supposed to go from the cross, and he's supposed to take a journey that leads to heaven. And in this journey, it's a growing process that we become more like Jesus Christ. We learn more of His ways. We learn more of His plans and purposes, and we desire and do all that we can to fulfill them and follow them in our life. Well, I see, first of all, in this passage of Scripture, a spiritual declaration in verse 13 or verse 12. There's a spiritual declaration here. It says, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Now, I see there in a common expression declared. This common expression is little children. John uses it throughout the letter. Little children was a name used for all Christians in this passage of Scripture. In other words, John is addressing his words to those who know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. I hope you know Him today. And if not, you can by accepting Christ as your Savior. It's also used, this aspect of little children, it's used as a term of endearment or love. It expresses a close relationship to. And so it's used over and over again as a way of God expressing His love for us and His desire to have a close relationship to us. Little children was a name given to us by a spiritual birth. In fact, in other words, you were born once in the flesh. You had to be born. How many were hatched? Look around. Not one of you. You know you were born. You were born by the same process, by the way. It doesn't matter how big or small or who you are or how you look, whether you have hair on your head or whether you don't. All of us were born by the same exact process. Amen. You can't change that. In fact, listen, I want you to understand something. There was something specific about that aspect of birth, very specific, that God instituted that can't be changed. Secondly, we are born into God's family by a very specific way. You cannot change that. You cannot make it better. You cannot make it simpler. You cannot make it deeper. It comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It comes from when you and I confess our sins. It comes when you and I recognize Christ as our Savior, and you and I come and accept Christ as Lord and Savior of life. I was at the flea market a while back witnessing to a young college student from Flagler College. And she said, "Well, I'd like to be saved, but I don't really want to do it that way." And I said, "Ma'am, there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." She says, "Well, isn't there another, can't I do it through the baptismal waters?" I said, "Ma'am, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." She said, "Well, what about joining a church?" I said, "Ma'am, look, I'm trying to tell you, there's no other way. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. If you don't come to Jesus through Jesus and by Jesus and in faith in Jesus, you don't come to Jesus." You say, "Well, Brother Gary, I've been baptized." Great. That's wonderful. You just got wet. Amen. Angie, one of our young ladies, Brother Shiver, called me Tuesday and wanted to be saved. Came to church Wednesday night and got saved. That's happened twice. I've told our people, happened twice in 23 years. I'm thankful for her. She came to the youth rally Friday night after she got saved on Wednesday and talked to me about being baptized. She's here today to be baptized. And I'm going to I hope I remember those words, Angie. So you pray for me during the message. That I, when I get you underwater, that I remember everything because I have a short memory. When Jesus was speaking to the religious leader named Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said this, "Ye must be born again." In fact, what he uses is an illustration of being born the first time and then being reborn. As I was born the first time into a family, I am then reborn into God's family. And it only comes from that aspect of a spiritual rebirth through Jesus Christ as my Savior. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Salvation comes through a spiritual rebirth that begets us into the family of God. And that's why John could call us little children. There's a common experience also declared here. Because he says, "I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven." I don't know how many times people come to me and say, "Can you know that you're saved?" I said, "Yes, I do, because my sins are forgiven." "Well, how do you know they're forgiven?" Because that's what the Bible says they are. I remember when I was growing up at Regency, I learned a little song. "Gone, gone, gone." Sing it with me. "Gone, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E. Man, that's right. That's where they are. Amen. And if they're gone, I can't find them. By the way, pray for us. Jared's wallet's gone too. We can't find it. And we need to. But my sins are gone. Isaiah 38 says that our sins are cast behind God's back. Why would he do that? It's a place where he can't find them and a place where he can't reach them. Psalm 103 verse 12 says our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Where does the east begin and the west ends? Where, vice versa. We don't know. That's where your sins are. Where you don't know they are. Just like Jared's wallet. The Bible says our sins are in the deepest parts of the sea. We've never gone to the deepest part of the sea. We don't have the ability to go that far down. And my friend, that's where your sins are. In other words, they're in a place that are forgiven, forgotten forever. I like that. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We've been bought and we've been purchased through his blood that lends us the forgiveness of sin. You're forgiven through Christ. And you know, when you think about that forgiveness of Christ, it's based on His provision. He provided it all on the cross of Christ. He did it all for us. Secondly, it's based on His promise. He promised He would do it, so therefore He must. If He cannot lie, and the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie, then He must provide us salvation and forgiveness. And then thirdly, it's based on His power. For Him to provide it and for Him to promise it is one thing, but He has the power to proclaim forgiveness to you and I. Then thirdly, in this passage in verse 13, there's a common entrance. For He says, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Well, that kind of puts God on guard. He did it for His name's sake. Wait a minute, I said God couldn't lie. For His name's sake. That means, folks, He did it on the authority and the power of His name. It's based on His name. You can bank on it. You can know it's going to be true. You can rely on it. You can live it, live based on it, because His name's sake. He did it because He could do it. He did it because He promised He would do it. And He did it because He had all the authority to do it, His name's sake. None of us come to the Lord Jesus Christ unless we come based on His namesake. Just as all of us are born babies, so are we born babies into the family of God. All of us have that same start in life, and basically we all have that same opportunity. There was a time when Brother Tony here could be held in one hand. We're looking for a big bucket to hold him now. You could hold him one time. Could you believe that? You could hold him. But you know what, folks? That's what, all of us had the same start. Most of us could be held in one hand. I remember when Faith and Ashton were born and how small they were and tiny. You could just hold them and how cute and beautiful and how they looked like their grandfather. And man, what a wonderful thing. I don't know why they're laughing, Lord. I don't know why. Secondly, I want you to see something else in this passage. Verses 13 and 14, a spiritual difference. There's a spiritual difference here in this passage. And in fact, it talks about infancy. It talks about young men, and it talks about fathers. We're going to, and it really doesn't reverse. It talks about fathers, young men, and infants. And we're going to do it in reverse. We're going to first of all talk about infants. First of all, there's a spiritual difference. There are the aspect of spiritual infants. And the word here, little children, has a different emphasis. In verse 12, it speaks of Christians in general, all Christians. But here, it speaks of infants in the Lord, those who've not grown spiritually, and they are spiritually immature. I want to say two things. First of all, I want to say something positive. You know, it's normal for newborn Christians to be babies or infants. Are spiritually immature. And secondly, it's normal for the church to be filled with them. Amen. You know what, folks? They know the Father, which means basically they just know that they are saved and on their way to heaven. And that may be all that they know. And it's normal for every church to have some spiritual babies. Those that have just been saved. Those that are just beginning to grow. Those that have just gone through discipleship. It's a good and healthy thing for the church to have spiritual babies in their congregation. In fact, our church and its ministries ought to be delivery rooms where people are constantly being born again into God's family. We must be as a church to have that lively ministry, that place where God is taught and preached, and that makes us a spiritual pediatric center, giving birth to babies, spiritual babies that come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Angie, honestly, I don't mean to offend you, but she's a spiritual baby. She just got saved. She may not know a lot. I don't know what she knows. But bless God, I'd like to have 1,000 just like her. Amen? People that she came up to me at the youth rally wanting to be baptized. I ate and waited for her to come to me. She did. She's wanting to do something for the Lord and gave her heart to the Lord. Listen, that's what it's all about. But I want you to know something, folks. There's something negative or something more about these spiritual babies. What do they need? The Bible says they need food. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow white. And really, that's speaking of all of us. We should desire the sincere milk of the word as babies. But babies need that milk. I remember Ashton was over at the house yesterday. Parents were too, but Ashton was there. And she was crying. She needed a little milk. Man, they mixed that milk up, put it in her mouth. She quit crying automatically. I go, wow, man, that's great. Amen. But you know what? That's what baby Christians do. They just need more spiritual food. They need spiritual communication. They need to learn to talk with God and God to talk with him in the word of God and in prayer. They need spiritual exercise. They need to learn to get involved in some ministry in the local church, and they need a spiritual atmosphere. That's a good church home. By the way, Angie, this is a good one, so I'm glad you're here. A good church home, a place of love and warmth and friendship and fellowship where they can grow in the Lord. Do you know with a word of, that's positive about spiritual babies, there's also a negative word, just like there's two sides to a coin. You see, the problem is there are people that have been saved for a long time that fit this category also, and that's a shame. It's as if that we don't have the word of God, or it's so hard to acquire. Folks, if you don't have a copy, go to Walmart. Amen. You can still get a King James Bible there and buy one. Better yet, take the one that you have and spend some time reading it and learning from it. Don't let it get dust or rust or the moths eat it. Amen. Take that word and eat that word and desire that word and devour that word. And you know what the problem is with spiritual babies? There are people in the church that have never grown. They've been saved a long time. They've never grown. That is not healthy, by the way. Paul told the Corinthian church that he could not speak unto them as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. These are people who've never grown or matured. Their carnal habits and sins overtake them. They have no depth of relationship, no spiritual understanding of the truths of Word of God. And these are the people that many times are the complainers and the negative ones and the ones that are really never fit into the ministry of the church. Again, this is abnormal. This is not what it should be. Babies are like cholesterol. You have good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, amen? Yeah. I know, my doctor's after me. He's not here today, thank God. But he's after me about my cholesterol. It's a little high, not much, just a little. But you know, there are some ways you can take care of the bad cholesterol and increase the good cholesterol to overcome the bad. Amen. And it's the same way in the Christian life. There's some things that you and I can do if we're spiritual babies to overcome the bad side, the negative side of being a spiritual baby, to become that positive side of growing and doing the right things and learning the things of God. Listen, my friend, there are spiritual babies. Secondly, there are spiritual adolescents or young men the Bible speaks of here. These are people that are beginning to grow in the Lord and moving toward Christian maturity. These are people that make up and they're called young men. And there's several things about them. First of all, they're strong. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. They're strong to know what's wrong and right and do that which is right. They're strong to know it's right to be faithful, and they are faithful. They're strong to know that they have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. They're strong to stand for God. And there are many here that are probably fit that aspect of spiritual strength, young men. Because their strength comes from a personal relationship with God, but also a personal desire to serve him and to do that. And you know, the thing about it is, you can stay a spiritual baby. It's your choice. Or you can grow to be a spiritual young man. But it's your choice. You know, I can't do it for you. In fact, the ministry of the Heritage Baptist Church can't do it. We have Sunday school, we have church services, we have discipleship. There's other things that we do. But you know what, folks? Until you take that step and say, hey, I'm going to apply it to my life, those things are meaningless to you. You see, I can come and sleep in the pew. I can come and think about other things. I can have my mind. I can be listening to the preacher, but thinking about 1,000 other things and never really hearing what I say or what the Word of God says. These are spiritually strong, and they have a secret. You see, the Word of God abideth in them. In other words, this secret is the spiritual strength found in God's Word. The word abide means to stay or to make permanent residence or to come and to live. In other words, they're wanting the Word of God to come and stay in their heart, to live in their heart, and to obey and live out what they know the Word of God says. When you begin to grip the Word of God, guess what? The Word of God will grip you. And all maturing Christians, every one of them, every maturing Christian is tied to the Bible. Every one of them. You cannot find one that has a growing relationship as a young man spiritually speaking, not in age, but in spiritually speaking, that is not tying themselves to the Word of God in prayer. You cannot find that. In fact, folks, spiritual growth comes from those simple truths that we proclaimed. And you know what we need to do? We need to read it. As I've said, we need to obey it. We need to meditate on it. We need to memorize it. We need to love it. We need to share it. Also, this young man has success because he overcomes the wicked one. He overcomes temptation and satanic attacks. The proof of our spiritual strength comes when you and I stand and say no to Satan, no to the flesh, no to this world. In fact, John calls him the wicked one. The word has one meaning, which means to go into sin by yourself. But this aspect of the wicked one mentioned here means it has to do with, in fact, it comes from the word that we get pornography from. And it speaks of this aspect of not just willing to go into sin, but pulling others with you. Pornography is that aspect that pulls you into sin and ungodliness. What does the wicked one want to do? Christian friend wants to pull you into remaining a spiritual baby. Wants to pull you into sin. Wants to pull you away from God. Wants to pull you away from the church. Wants to pull you away from godly things, from the Bible and prayer and other things. And he'll do that if you let him. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to stand and having done all to withstand and putting on that armor of God and doing that by faith and prayer. And when we do that, you and I can stand. And it proves, listen, that you and I are maturing in the Lord, that we've come from a baby to a young man. In fact, Jesus Christ gave us the illustration in Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 through 11 when three times Satan tempted him and three times he could have quoted the word of God from his own lips. Words that were not already recorded, but he showed us the power of God by recording memorizing and saying Deuteronomy three times, verses out of Deuteronomy three times, showing us the power of the Word. Listen, when you're tempted, let the Word of God that is hidden in your heart, listen, keep you from sin. Memorize and meditate and recite the Word of God in your life that you can stand. But you know, there's a third aspect here. A third division, that was spiritual fathers, which we see at the very beginning of verse 13 and verse 14. This is someone who's spiritually mature. He's not necessarily an aged person, but he's one that's deep-rooted in their faith. You say, well, Brother Gary, I don't know that I can do that. Yes, you can. Again, it's a choice. Everyone can get to this place. It takes time and effort, but everyone can get here. It may take everyone a different time frame. But you know what? The focus is here that you can do it. There are spiritual babies that can come to a place of being a spiritual young man, but you don't have to stay there. You can come to a place where you're a spiritual father, where you're someone that's mature in the Lord. And listen, what is he able to do? A father reproduces, amen? A father can reproduce. That's why he's called a father, because he has children. And that's what you and I need to be doing. We need to be reproducing ourselves in the lives of others. We need to reproduce Jesus Christ in us in the lives of other people by telling them about Jesus and helping them know about Christ. Secondly, a father confronts. Now, I had a dad that was pretty strict. My preacher here knows that. I didn't get too far out of line before. And my mom, you've seen her, she's little. Well, she was taller back then. But she still was pretty short. And I got to be tall. And she got to where she couldn't handle me. But she knew that dad could. And she would just say, Gary, your dad's coming home. And he's going to deal with you. She'd go in her bedroom, and I would cry, I would die, oh my goodness. And I'd look at that clock, tick, 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 hour after hour after hour. And sure enough, she'd meet him at the door, I'd be in my room and she'd tell him all the 300,000 things that I'd done that day. And you know what? He did exactly know what to do. He put the Board of Education on the seat of learning, and it helped me a lot. A father is able, listen, a father is able to be confrontational. And you know what? You can grow to the place in your maturity where you can see a friend, a brother, where they're going into sin, and you can come to them, and in Christian love, you can confront them, and you can talk to them, and you can share your love for them, and you can help them go in the right direction. Not everybody can do that, but a father can. Not everybody ought to do that, but a father can. Thirdly, he can illustrate his life in others. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:16, "Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me." In other words, folks, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul couldn't say that if he wasn't following Christ. And it also put him in a predicament that he better follow Christ because he's encouraged people to follow him. If he didn't follow Christ, others would be following the same road downward that he would. You see, fathers set good examples for their little children and the young men to follow. A little poem says, "Writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by deeds that you do, by words that you say. Others read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you?" What are you writing with your life? Where are you at? You know what? I believe this. I believe every Christian here is in one of three stages. You're either a spiritual baby, a spiritual young man, or you're growing to be a spiritual father, or already there. The problem is, too many times, we're pretty set where we are. God never wanted us to be set. He wanted us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of His Lord. That growing in grace is a continuation. I start at the moment of my salvation, and each day until He leads me to heaven, I grow a little bit more like Him. I take a little bit more leadership like we talked about this morning. I become a little bit more involved in ministry and I do the things that God wants me to do. Folks, listen, the need of the hour is for spiritual babies to become young men and for young men to become fathers. Don't give up. Don't slow up. Don't take a break. Keep going in your Christian life. I've got one more poem I want to read. I read it. I wrote the words here. Go on, go on, go on. Go on, go on, go on. Go on, go on, go on, go on. Go on, go on, go on. That's what Paul's saying here. Or John, go on in your Christian life. Grow in your Christian life and do something for God in your Christian life. Let's pray. Father, we're again grateful for the Word of God today. And we pray right now, dear Lord, that you would help each and every one of us as Christians to know, hey, there's a place, there's a plan, and that plan is to be what Jesus Christ wants us to be each and every day. No matter what stage we're in, help us to desire and determine. Help us to make that commitment this morning that I'm going to go on for the Lord. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be more like Him, and I'm going to not be a spiritual baby or just to be satisfied with being a young man, but spiritually I'm going to strive to be a father, someone spiritually mature that can take spiritual mature roles in the church and be the spiritual testimony in a lost and dying world that we need to be. God, I just ask that you just guide and direct in every aspect. Lord, if there's someone here without Christ as their Savior, may the gospel that was presented at certain times of this message be that which convicts their heart of their need of Jesus, and may they come and receive Him as Savior. Lord God, have your will now in this invitation. We entrust it with Thee. We ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing page number 1.